I want you just to turn, if you would, to Mark chapter 4. Sound a bit boomy up here, guys. Whether you can fix that for me, please. Mark chapter 4 and verse 35. It says, on that day, when evening had come, he said to them, let us go across to the other side. And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. And other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But when he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, who then is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? They came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gerasenes. The title of my message today is this: there's a peace missing. There's a peace missing. I remember going on holiday several years ago with my brother. I was trying to remember whether I ever told you this story, so if I had, perhaps wave at me and I'll stop. But I went on holiday with my brother, and we were away and we were in Cornwall, and he said, I want to go fishing. So let's go out on a boat, let's go fishing. So I said, yeah, let's go fishing. And so we went to this little kind of quaint kind of place, and we thought, let's go do some reef fishing. You know, we've done mackerel, let's go do reef. So we're going to go do reef, and we booked a couple of spaces on this boat, and we headed out. And as we came out of the kind of dock, it was really, really nice and really calm and really steady. And as we were driving out of the dock, my brother turns to me, he says, I love boats. I love boats. He says, I want to get a boat. So we're sort of talking, you know, like you do as brothers. I'm going to get a boat. I absolutely love boats. I love fishing. I love boats. I'm going to get a boat. So I'm like, yeah, great, mate. Got a packed lunch with us. We're heading out there. We get out to sea, and it starts getting a bit choppy. And you roll him, and then the waves start thing. And then he says, what we're going to do is we're going to get up near the reef. And then what we're going to do, he says, we just drift. So we're going to pitch up, we're going to drift. And I'm thinking, this is getting a bit choppier. You know, as we're getting out there, and it's getting choppier and choppier and choppier. And you know that kind of feeling when you're like, vroom, 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 like that as we're heading out. And I'm looking at my brother, thinking, does he still love boats? Does he still love fishing? You know, and we get out there, and we stop at this reef, and we start hitting these waves, and the boat is just having a good old rock around like this, and we're rolling around, and he's like, the guy's like, you know, right, here's your line, you know, here's your rod. You know, one of those moments when you've been on a boat, you sort of give it, and you sort of, you know, you're kind of going like this as the boat's kind of going. And he starts telling us what to do and getting ready to drop our line. And all of a sudden, I look to the side of me, and I'm like, where's my brother? And my brother's hanging over the side of the boat, going, like this. He's over the side of the boat, and he turns back, and he looks green as anything looks green, and we're rocking around. And I do in that moment what all good brothers do. I laugh at him. And he's spewing over the side of the boat like this, and I'm cracking up looking at him, thinking this is so funny because I'm all right. And then we've got our packed lunch with us, so I'm like, do you want a sarnie? And he's like, whoa, whoa, chucking up over the side of the boat. Any fish I'm catching, I'm going, ooh, like this. And he's chucking up. He didn't even drop a line in the ocean. Didn't even drop a line in the ocean. We got back to dock, and he turns to me and says, I hate boats. I hate fishing. You see, it was really quite interesting because how he felt at that point in time depended entirely upon the circumstances he found himself in. When it was calm, when it was peaceful, when it was still, he was able to enjoy what we were doing. When it got choppy, when it got rough, he wasn't able to enjoy it. In fact, he really didn't enjoy it at all. We've never been fishing together since. You know, that night when Jesus asked all the disciples to get into the boat, actually when they launched off, conditions were great. If you read the account in Luke chapter 8, there's a phrase in one of the versions of the Bible there that says, it was smooth sailing. It was smooth sailing. How many people like me like the times in life when it feels like it's smooth sailing? You know, those times in life when it feels calm, when it feels still, when it feels peaceful, and you're able to feel, do you know what, I can just kind of enjoy this. I like those times. I've kept Em up here for a reason. Em, just play me something really tranquil and chilled, and it's going to keep us nice and calm and, you know, still. Can we just get that cranked up nice and loud, please, on the PA desk for me this morning? You know, just close your eyes for a moment. Speakers, please. As I was saying, just as the PA is going wrong, you know, the mic was just playing up on me there, but just sorry it took me so long just to get that sorted out. But you know, wouldn't it be nice if life could just stay like this? You know, you're sitting there, oh yeah, I like this. You feel chilled and you listen to this stuff and you feel peaceful and you feel calm and you feel still. And you think, yeah, if life was like this, then I feel I could enjoy life. But Em, just play me something dramatic. You know, something with a bit of, you know, yeah. And as the music changes, you know, you suddenly think, actually, life at times feels a bit more like this. We'd like it if life felt like the other way, because when the life is the other way, I'm like, oh, I feel calm, I feel chilled. But all of a sudden, there's bills rolling in, there's problems that are coming in, there's a bit of chaos, there's something that's gone wrong, there's a situation that we've got to face and we don't know how to handle it, and life feels a bit stormy. And all of a sudden, what's happened is in these moments, we start to feel our heart racing a little bit more. Even the music in itself sets yourself on edge a bit, and you start thinking, what's coming next and what's going to happen? And in your heart, you're thinking, do you know what? I want to go back to where it was just calm and still and tranquil. She's doing very well. She didn't have a clue I was going to do this to her today. She's probably not feeling very calm and still and tranquil inside right now. But it'd be nice if life could stay there. Thanks, Em. It's perfect. You can have a seat. Those two pieces of music evoke entirely different reactions. They evoke entirely different feelings and emotions, because by nature what happens is we begin to respond to what's going on around us. So when it's chilled, we feel chilled, but when it's peaceful, and when it's peaceful, we feel peaceful. But when life starts serving up a storm, or the waves start rolling, or we face a situation and we don't know how we're going to get through it, we feel very different. The way we think, we feel, the way we see depends on the circumstances we find ourselves in, like it did with my brother in the boat, and like it did for the disciples this day in Mark chapter 4. You see, they're in the boat and all of a sudden it's smooth sailing and it's like, this is good and there's not a problem, there's not a concern. But then it says in verse 47, a great windstorm arose. A great windstorm arose. The actual word there for windstorm, it means this: a whirlwind of a storm, a violent attack, furious gusts and floods of rain turning everything topsy-turvy. This was not just a storm, this was a kind of a phenomenal storm. Some versions use the word huge, other versions use the word furious. But the good news is that you've got guys like Peter on board, because the disciples are on board. And the good news is that Peter, he's an experienced fisherman. I mean, Peter's sailed the seas, you know, he's spent his life growing up on boats, he's faced countless storms, this was his job, this was his livelihood, this is what he did. He knew how to handle a boat, he knew how to read the clouds, he knew how to, you know, see what the weather was doing. You're thinking to yourself, well, good news, because we've got Peter on board. I well imagine that Peter may have well been the one who was at the helm of the boat. It doesn't say as much, but it makes sense to me to put the most experienced guys up there. And so Peter's up there and he's at the helm of the boat. And, you know, if I'm a passenger on that boat, I'm thinking to myself, well, right, this feels pretty mad right now. What's Peter doing? How's Peter reacting to what's going on? Because, you know, I'm kind of thinking, if he's a guy who kind of knows what he's doing, I mean, if he's cool, I'm going to be cool. If he's freaking out, I'm going to freak out. And so I'm sitting there as a passenger and I'm looking at Peter, because that's a general rule that when I'm on a plane or whatever, that's how I work. You know, when you hit turbulence and it's kind of starting to rock and bounce around, I look at the air host and the air hostess. What are they doing? You know what I mean? I ain't worrying about if everyone's panicking in their seat around me. You know what I mean? I'm thinking, what are they doing? Because I'm thinking, if they're cool, I'm cool. Okay, if they're going to look like they're going to be all right, I'm carrying on with my omelette and movie, okay? I'm not flinching from this position. But if they're looking like they're panicking and they're going white as a sheet and they're buckling up and there's that look in their eyes, I'm freaking out. I'm not cool. And so here they are in the boat and they're looking at Peter, and what's Peter doing? I'll tell you what he's doing. He's freaking out. He's like, what on earth are we going to do? He doesn't know what to do in the situation that he faces himself in. That he's faced with. He's shocked. And I'm thinking, if he's shocked, this is not good. I mean, he's seen countless storms, but this storm must have been something else. In verse 38, it says this, "Teacher, don't you care that we're perishing?" I don't even think, Peter's thinking to himself and the other guys on the boat, I don't even think that we're actually going to be able to make it through this storm. I don't even know how we're going to get through this storm. I can't really see a way for this. I think actually, we're going down. One version says, we're swamped. We're sinking. He don't know what to do. The disciples don't know what to do. You see, the truth of the matter is, friends, when there is no sense of peace, it's hard to think right. When there's no sense of peace, it's hard to decide right. When there is a peace that is missing, it's hard to know what to do, when you should do it, and how you should do it. And they're fighting this storm and they don't know what to do. There's no peace in the midst of what's going on. They haven't got a clue. And all of a sudden someone's like, hey, where's Jesus? Where's Jesus? Anyone seen Jesus? Because he's on the same boat. He's in the same furious storm. He's going through the same situation. What's he doing? And they wander up to the stern. That's the back of the boat, for those of you who don't know. Thank you, Wikipedia. They wander up to the back of the boat and it's like, what's Jesus doing? Is Jesus freaking out? Is Jesus panicking? Is Jesus anxious? Is Jesus worried? Is Jesus like, we're going to die? He's like, he's sleeping in the back of the boat. Sleeping in the back of the boat. He's not joining in with any hysteria. I mean, he's not even having a disturbed sleep. It says they've got to wake him up. He's out for the count. He's so peaceful, the boat might have been rocking all over the place, the storm, the lightning, the flashing, the thunder, whatever was going on in that situation, and Jesus is fast asleep. Sleeping in the back of the boat. And once he comes round, what's going to happen? They wake him up. Is Jesus going to, oh my life, it's a great big storm. What are we going to do? I can't see a way through it. Is Jesus going to panic, and is he going to feel anxious, and is Jesus going to feel worried? Well, he just sort of calmly speaks to the storm, sort of calmly speaks into the chaos and brings this sense of peace. See, when it was smooth sailing, these disciples and settled and calm, they're feeling at peace. But when the storm hit, they suddenly lose their peace. They suddenly find that there's a missing peace. But Jesus retains his peace all the way through. Whether it was smooth sailing or whether it was rocky, stormy, choppy waters, Jesus never lost his peace. John chapter 14 and verse 27 in the Amplified Version, Jesus begins to speak about why this would be. Because it's his peace that is different to any other peace that you know. He says this, "Peace I leave with you, my perfect peace. My perfect peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be afraid. Let my perfect peace," I love this, "calm you in every circumstance and give you courage and strength for every challenge." Sounds pretty good to me. Peace that can calm you in every circumstance and give you courage and strength for every challenge. Do you know when Jesus spoke those words that day, he was just a few hours away from dying on the cross. And in all that's going on, and in all that he might have had on his mind, and in all that he was going through, when he's just a few short hours away from dying the most horrific, barbaric death that was known to man, what is Jesus thinking about? That his disciples would know peace. That his disciples would know what real peace is. on his mind was that me and you would know real peace. That we'd know not the peace that just that the world gives, because that's one type of peace, but the peace that he gives. See, the peace the world gives, anyone can have. I'm sure many of you would have heard this stuff preached before, but it's the kind of peace actually that's entirely dependent to the circumstances in which I'm in. It reacts and responds entirely to what is going on around me. So when it's smooth sailing, I feel good. When it's choppy, when it's up and down, I don't. When I feel at peace, I can think well, I can see well, I can feel well, I can function well. But when life gets stormy, all of a sudden I can't think so well, I don't feel so well, I don't see so well, I don't know what to do. You see, the peace of the world lives in this cycle of continual change. And whilst we might have loved it, whilst it was nice and peaceful and calm and tranquil, the reality is life doesn't stay like that. Life serves up its storms. The winds blow, the waves crash. And Jesus is just a few hours away from his death, and he says, you know what? Guys, I don't want you to live in this place where life is so up and down for you and you don't know what to do. I don't want you to feel like you can't think well, see well, feel well, function well. I don't want you to go through something that is continually causing your peace levels to change. He says, I can give you a peace that can calm you. That can calm you. I can give you a peace that can calm you in every circumstance and give you courage and strength for every challenge. The stuff, the kind of peace that when you hit a storm, you... The kind of peace that opens that letter, reads that news and goes... The kind of peace that faces that circumstance, it's mad, it's crazy, it's painful, yet somehow in the midst of it, you're... It sounds crazy, but you know what the peace of God is? It sounds crazy, but the peace of God is. That's what Philippians 4 verse 7 means. The peace of God, it says, surpasses all understanding. No matter to what level we can think of as peace, it's like the peace of God. The peace of the world might bring you this far, but the peace of God goes and surpasses that. It goes beyond. It's way better than anything you can think about or imagine. It goes beyond human understanding. It goes beyond what you can produce. It can bring you this far, the peace of the world, but Jesus says, my peace surpasses all of that stuff, and my peace takes you into the crazy zone. You see, what it means is this. It means that when all is kicking off around you and you're in the middle of a storm, you don't know why, you don't know how, well, you do because it's Jesus, but ultimately what's going on, the circumstances are doing one thing and yet on the inside you're at peace. It's like you're in an atmosphere yet you're dwelling in an entirely different one. It makes no sense. I'm in a storm, but I feel peace. And God wants to give us that peace. Philippians 4 verse 6 to 7, as I just read, says this. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. If you've got a Bible, a paper Bible, or even if it's a digital one and you can highlight it, underline and highlight that word guard. Highlight that word guard. It means it will keep and protect. You know, when you watch boxers, I was going to have two hands free, but I've got a mic in one right now. But when you watch boxers and they fight, they always talk about the pundits and the experts, the people who are commentating on the fight. They always talk about how if you're going to win, you need a good guard. You need a good defense. You need to keep your guard up. A boxer that drops his hands, a boxer that lets down his guard, a boxer that doesn't have a good defense is always going to be more edgy. He's always going to feel more anxious because he's always wondering about, well, what if? What if they throw that? What if they do that? What if they move that way? And so actually, rather than that, what you're meant to do is lift your guard and anticipate the punches. Be ready for the punches that come so that you can defend yourself when punches that come. Listen, friends, do you know something? You're in a fight. The devil is real, and you need your guard up because he's swinging. And actually, what we need to do, we need to keep our guard up, and we need to learn how to keep our guard up, because if we don't have our hearts and our minds guarded and protected, we will live in this place of anxiety and worry and fear. He's swinging. And where does he want to hit you? It says in your heart and in your mind. Anyone else like me find that when the devil starts swinging at them, the two biggest places he tries to attack in your life are your heart and your mind. Your feelings, your thoughts, your emotions. The way you think about it, the way you see, the way you feel. He knows that if I've got no peace, I've got no guard. And if I've got no guard, I can't stop them feelings, those horrible thoughts, those horrible emotions that come running through my heart and through my mind. And I live in a place as a Christian of feeling edgy and anxious and fearful. No one can enjoy life, friends, when they feel edgy and anxious and fearful. Worry, it kills life. Anxiety, it kills life. You see, the big thing the devil does not want you to have is peace. The big thing he does not want you to have is peace. In the last few weeks on the run-up to the mission, that is one of the biggest lessons that I've learned in my life, that the thing that the devil does not want you to have is peace. Because he knows if you've got no peace, you've got no guard. And if you've got no guard, you're wide open to punches. And what's going to happen then? You're going to have moments when you get knocked down. He does not want you to have peace. People say he wants my house. People say he wants my car. People say he wants my job. He don't want your house. He don't want your car. He wants your job. He wants your peace. That's why he wants to even take that stuff, because for some people, their peace is in that stuff. But ultimately, what he wants is your peace. He wants you to feel worried and fearful and anxious and on the edge. And if we've not got God's peace, if we've not got that guard, we've not got that protection, we've just got the peace of the world, then the devil knows this: just with the right set of circumstances, he can nick your peace. If he just presses the right buttons, just does the right thing, your peace is gone. Jesus is in the same storm, yet he's reacting totally different to everyone around him. Why? He's got God's peace. The peace of God. The shalom of God, protecting him, covering him. It's in here, it's in here. It's in his heart, and it's in his mind. Paul says in that version, in Philippians, which I just read, friends, you got to get your guard up. If you feel like you've been missing peace, I just want to ask you this morning, have you dropped your guard? Have you dropped your guard? You say to me, well, Daryl, then how do I get my guard back up? How do I get my good kind of guard? How do I get my heart and my mind protected? Well, you do it by prayer. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. You know, I recently heard someone talking about this verse, and they say this. It says, let your requests be made known to God, not Facebook. Ain't where you're going to find any peace. Let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Do you know, friends, we need a prayer life, not just a church life. Just sitting in church isn't where we find peace. Peace comes through developing a relationship with God. Going deeper in our relationship with God. Learning to bring every situation before him. And making our requests known to him. And then that peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds. They got through that storm for one reason. Because Jesus was in the boat. Water was coming in. And yet in the midst of that storm, this phenomenal peace that the Bible describes as a great calm descends. Why? Because Jesus was in the boat.
See, my question to you this morning is really this. If you want to know real peace, then the big question is this. Is Jesus on board in your life? Is Jesus on board in your life? Because he brought great calm to the storm. If you're in the middle of chaos or crisis or a situation, you don't know what you're going to do and how you're going to find your way through it. If it's waves and if it's wind and if it's rocking and if it's rolling, what is going to get you through this? It's not what, it's who, friends. And his name is Jesus. And the Bible says he is the Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace was on board on that boat. And he brought the calm. And he brought them through. You see, the second thing I want to say to you this morning is you say, well, I am a Christian. Yeah, I am. Jesus, I have asked him into my heart. I have asked him into my life. Well, then my question to you this morning is this. If he is, and you're in a storm, have you forgotten who you've got on board? Because they'd been around Jesus, they'd hung out with Jesus, they'd spent time with Jesus, they were Jesus' disciples, and yet in that moment, it's like they underestimated and forgot who they really had on board with them. They're hitting the panic, and they're worrying, and they're anxious, and they're fearful. They didn't really appreciate that the person who was on board in their life had the power to calm the crisis. Well, actually, that's another point in itself, isn't it? Because sometimes Jesus calms a storm and sometimes he calms you. But you know, they didn't really understand fully the power of the person who was on board with them. They'd not set their hope and their trust in the person who was on board. And what did Jesus ask them? He says to them, guys, why, in verse 40, why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? Guys, I'm on board. I'm with you. Don't forget what I said when we got on this boat. I said, we're going to go to the other side. We're going to the other side. And he's like, guys, where's your trust? Where's your faith? I'm on board. Remember that. Put your trust in me. You know, sometimes as Christians, we live like that. It's Jesus is on board in our life, but we forget. We forget who we've really got there in our life. He is the Prince of Peace. He is the one who we're to turn to, the one who we're to trust, the one who we're to have faith in. But sometimes we forget that. Isaiah 43 verse 2 is just a beautiful, beautiful scripture. It says this, it says, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name and you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. And when you walk through fire, you shall not be burned. And the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. The Message version puts it like this. When you're in over your head, I'll be there with you. When you're in rough waters, you will not go down. When you're between a rock and a hard place, it won't be a dead end, because I am God, your personal God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. How beautiful is that? They hit that storm, and as I said, they've forgotten that Jesus said back in verse 35, let us go across to the other side of the lake. That statement was really a promise. And it was really this, guys, we're going to make it. We're going to get through this. But what happens is that the storms come along, storms, you know, they kick in around us, and we feel like, I don't know if I'm going to get through this. I don't feel like I'm necessarily going to make it. I don't know how this is going to pass. And it's difficult in those times to not begin to look at the waves. It's difficult to not begin to look at the wind. It's difficult to not begin to look at the conditions and the circumstances we find ourselves in. It's difficult to not look at the water that's coming in the boat. But the trouble is that when our focus goes to the wind and the waves and the water and everything else like that, we forget who we've got in the boat. Jesus is in the boat. And if you've asked him into your life, friends, he's in your boat this morning. So whatever you're sailing through, remember this. Jesus said, you're going to make it. You're going to make it. There might be times when you go through some tough stuff and you're thinking, I don't think we are going to make it. Teacher, don't you care that we're perishing? You might feel swamped. You might feel positively overwhelmed. But I tell you this, friends, if Jesus is in your boat, there is nothing that you cannot face that he cannot bring you through. You might be in the middle of it thinking, I don't know if I'm going to get through it. But trust me, if Jesus is in your boat, he can bring you through that. No matter how painful it is, no matter how difficult it is, no matter how hard it is. And I don't belittle that for one second. But if Jesus is in your boat, you can make it. You can make it. You will come through. No one's run around that boat saying, oh, the wind ain't real, the waves aren't real, the water's not real. How stupid would that be? So I've often said to myself, there's no point me standing up saying that problem in your life ain't real, that crisis isn't going on, because it probably is. Most definitely is. But the point is this, the game changer is who's in your boat. Jesus was in the boat. You know, when we face those storms, those challenges, those moments, that's where we arguably face the greatest challenge of our love, and our faith and our trust in Jesus. Because whilst we might love a fair weather relationship, Jesus never promised us that. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, for I have overcome it. Jesus never promised us a fair weather relationship, and whilst it might be nice, I don't know many people who have ever had one. And you see, the thing is that in the fair weather there was no issues in the boat. And I'll just say this to you, you know, when things are fair weather and the sailing is smooth and things are going okay, that's not really where your love and your faith and your trust in Jesus is tested. Because anyone really can love and have faith and have trust when times are good. Teacher, don't you care that we're perishing? It's the first thing they do. I thought you loved us. I thought you were good. And we're going down. We're sinking in this. When storms of life hit, that's what often happens. The first thing that can happen to us is we begin to question God's love and God's goodness in our life. Teacher, don't you care? We're going down. But you see, friends, real faith, real love, real trust is when the waves are hitting, the wind is blowing, the boat is rocking, the lightning's flashing, the thunder's clapping, and you say, do you know what? Jesus, I love you. And you're still good. You're still good. Isaiah 26 verse 3 says, you will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. Oh, if I trust in you, you will hold me in a place of peace. If I can still say, I ain't got to deny it's rocking, I ain't got to deny that we're in a choppy time right now, but if I can still stand in the midst of this and say, Jesus, you're in my boat, and Jesus, I love you, and Jesus, you are good, then friends, what you have before you in that moment is arguably one of the greatest opportunities to discover Jesus in the deepest way. Because not only was it one of their most testing times that they ever had, within that moment was the greatest opportunity to really discover the power of who was in their boat. You see, because when that storm came, they began to discover who this Jesus was in a whole deeper way. Verse 39 says this, and he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased and there was great calm. And what did they do? Verse 41, it says, and they were filled with great fear. That means this. It means they were in awe. They were staggered, that word there means, with amazement. They were literally like, whoa, who is in our boat? Look what he can do. I mean, we were just in the most nuts, crazy, insane storm where we never thought we'd even come through. We never thought we'd even make it to the other side. And the one who's in our boat can stand up and just say, peace, be still, and bring great calm. Their minds were blown by the power of the one who was in their boat. Friends, in those times when it gets stormy and choppy, let me tell you, there is within them, as I have just said, the opportunity to discover the power of the one who is in your boat. If you can say, God, you're good, if you can hold on to him, you can trust him in those times. You'll see just what he can do. See, whatever you are sailing through today, Jesus can cause the wind to cease and the peace to come. Em, can you just come back for me, please, and just play? I'm done, really. The disciples, they learned something incredibly powerful, I think, that day. And this is what I think they learned. The worst storms are not the ones on the outside. They're the ones on the inside. It was kicking off all around them. But the hardest thing about what was going on in the midst of it all kicking off around them was all the feeling and emotion and fear and worry and anxiety that was on the inside of them. We are perishing. We are swamped. We are going down. The storm, the biggest storm, friends, was not so much the one outside the boat. It was the one that was raging on the inside. The feelings and the emotions they were battling with, the way it affected them, the way they felt, the way they were seeing what was going on, that was what they were really struggling to deal with. And yet Jesus is... he's sleeping in the storm. When they wake him up, he's speaking to it. And he's getting it to calm down. He had this phenomenal peace that carried him, whether it was smooth sailing or stormy weather. You see, what Jesus actually did was less about what he spoke to and more about where he spoke from. He spoke from a place of peace. He dwelt in peace. He knew what real peace was. There was a reservoir of peace inside of him. And that peace says that it's possible for all hell to be breaking loose on the outside. Yet I can be at peace on the inside. With God's peace, you can dwell in a different atmosphere to what is going on around you. The storm's raging. The letter's come. It's not turned out how you hoped in that situation. It's not gone well there. You don't know how you're going to get through that. The heat is on at work. The pressure is on. That person's upset you. They've hurt you. That situation's not gone well. There's not a lot of money in the bank. And yet you're at peace. Jesus says, and Jesus wants you to live in peace. He wants you to sleep in peace. He wants you to speak peace. And he wants you to dwell in peace. Sing it.